September 18th full board meeting and retreat of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. We have one member, board member Corey Thames, who is unable to be here in person and has asked to participate virtually. I need a motion from the board members to allow that.
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. You can add Corey, Teresa, and then if you would call the roll.
All right. Trustee David.
Here.
Trustee Elam.
Here.
Trustee Chiara.
Here.
Trustee Timms.
Here.
Trustee Watkins.
Present.
Chair Zoff.
Here. A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Bates, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chair Zoff, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, Gwendolyn Brooks Library buildings, and online.
Okay. Then we will move to approval of the board agenda. Are there any comments or corrections to the agenda? I don't hear any, so I would move that the agenda be approved. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Ms. Bates, do we have any individuals who have signed up for public comment?
Yes, there is one individual.
Okay.
Chair Zoff, I will call the following that have signed up to speak. Larry Higgins.
Okay. All right, Mr. Higgins, you may.
Please.
Huggins.
I'm like, wait, I don't know Larry Higgins. But I do know Larry Huggins. Mr. Huggins, please feel free to come up to the mic, and you can either use the mic in the middle of the room or there's a mic here on the table. And you have 2 minutes. Actually, you can have a little bit more than 2 minutes since it's just you. And welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me say I'm here in support of Chicago State having a Division I football team. The reason I'm in support of that is that of a co-founder of Chicago Football Classic. Chicago State is the only institution in the Midwest that is close to being a historical black college. One of the things that I think a Division I football team would do is to keep students here in the city of Chicago. You have a lot of talent here. A lot of our talent is now going to historical black colleges, which we do support. In my opinion, is that we are losing. When these kids go away to college, they never come back. In order for us to keep the best and the brightest here, it's important that we keep this institution alive and well and supportive of that. My opinion is that Chicago State University, if you have a football team, not only Chicago would be a safer city, but in my opinion would also be a better city. So I'm in support of you guys really taking seriously about having a Division I football team here in the city of Chicago, because DePaul doesn't have it, University of Illinois doesn't have it. For Chicago State to have that, I think that would be a huge, huge thing to do and the right thing to do. So that's why I'm here in support of you guys having a Division I program. And at some point, we would love to see Chicago State play in the Chicago Football Classic. And just stop and think that at some point.
You are thinking big.
I mean, we can fill that stadium up. I would say that at least, you know, maybe 4 years from now, that could happen. And when we have a huge band program, and these schools come and support, come and recruit our kids, and they go all over the country. Out in the south suburbs, they have a huge band program. Those kids, instead of them going to other schools, they can come right here to Chicago State. And one of the things I will say is that we do give away scholarships, and we would love to give students scholarships on the Chicago Football Classic to attend Chicago State University. So that's why I'm in support of a Division I program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations on another successful Chicago Classic.
Thanks.
All right. Next, we'll move on to the approval of the previous board minutes. Are there any corrections to the June 26, 2023 minutes? Hearing none, I move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Eden.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Chair Zopp.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Minutes have been approved. We also have to approve the minutes from the July. I'm just going to do these all together. Sorry, I forgot there were three. So we also have minutes from the July 24th special board meeting and the August 23rd special board meeting. If there's no correction to any of those minutes, I move to approve them. Can I get a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you please call the roll? And this would be for approval of the minutes from July, the two special board meetings, July 24th and August 23rd.
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zott.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Now we're going to go to the agenda and the university reports. And we're going to start with academic affairs and Dr. Roundtree, our interim provost and senior vice president for academic and student affairs.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I would like to say we've had a wonderful start to our new fall semester, and we ended our summer semester with great success. We had our summer camps, which had students from 6 years old to 18 years old on our campus, and we have already begun the summer camp planning for next year. We also were very pleased that we had 8 students studying abroad this summer. 5 in France, 1 in Ghana, I believe 1 in Kenya. And so we again hope to expand that program coming up this following summer as well. We have been able to bring on 10 new faculty this academic year. We also had 9 faculty who retired this year and 1 that resigned. So our numbers are about the same, but we were able to bring on exciting new faculty. We do want to announce a few. You received our report, but we have had a few additions since we submitted the report. Dr. So, a faculty in our educational leadership program, has been selected as a Fulbright Scholar and will be going this summer to South Africa. Dr. Goss in our chemistry department has been identified as a notable woman in STEM by Crane's Business, and we're excited for that. We also received a grant to partner with the state of Illinois and St. Bernard Hospital to help build a center for better aging and improve the health and well-being of seniors on the South Side, and we're starting that process. We will be assisting with building the health science workforce for the South Side. We also, Dr. Ayash, who is one of our faculty members in computer science, we are very pleased. He received 2 large grants this summer. One is from the National Science Foundation for $1 million to work on semiconductors and microelectronic learning experiences, as well as a U.S. Department of Transportation grant, which we are a partner with IIT around building advanced transportation systems and electronic vehicles. So as you can see, our summer and our fall are off to a great start. We also have 2 partnerships that we are working on very closely, and the contracts are all in legal, someone's legal department.
There's
with the Chicago City Colleges to have a master guaranteed admission program for students across the city college system. We've already identified the transfer pathways and they're published on our website. We're just following up on the last details. And we've expanded our partnership with Advocate Aurora Health System, not only to engage in clinicals and education around the health sciences, but to build partnerships with their nursing program around teaching. And we have our first master's prepared nurse from Illinois Masonic who is actually teaching in our nursing program this semester. So we are excited with this year's start, and that's the end of my report.
Do we have any questions for Dr. Roundtree? Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you. It was such a great start and a good summer.
I'll call up Dr. Potlori.
And Dr. Potlori is going to give the graduate school enrollment report.
Morning, Chair Jha, President, members. If you can see on the slide there, the graduate school, if you remember, for the last 3 years, we've been increasing the numbers. We started about 600, now we are at about 750, 755. We stayed at that number if you look at those numbers, but there's good news in it and a little bit of concern in those numbers. So our domestic numbers are slightly down, but we made it up with the international students. That helps us in two different ways, because one international student is equal to almost 1.7, 1.8 domestic students as far as revenue is concerned. So we got more transfer international students. That is the good news, because we are attracting students from IIT, DePaul, and as far as Ohio and Missouri. So Chicago State is making waves, so people are realizing we have a good education system and also we are affordable, so people are trying to transfer. So that's where you can see the numbers. We are slightly down in doctoral programs, but that we understand why it is, so we are trying to make adjustments for it for the next year. We also, technically, I am not pushing it this year because we have one faculty member retired. We haven't replaced the faculty, so we are capacity a little bit. So once the faculty is back, then we will try to push more students into educational program, doctoral program. The pharmacy, of course, you know, pharmacy is slightly down, so that's why you see those numbers, total numbers down on the screen. And second thing I want to talk about is because we worried about retention for the last 2-3 years, President and Provost found some money for me, so we have been giving some money, and so we have 50 scholarships. Last 2 years we've been giving in. This year we just finalized and the new notices are going as I'm speaking to the students. Each one gets $1,000 for retention. This is for the people coming back, that to help the retention, and people are happy. Students come and tell us they're grateful because that helps them for coming back to the school. So we could use more money, of course, but at least we have started. Start one, and we also have 12 graduate assistantships. That's where we are actually a little bit short. That's, again, knowing the financial situation now, at least we are doing something, so it is really helping the students. Scholarships we cannot give to international students, so technically we don't have any scholarships for international students. That's where a lot of other universities are doing, and so we are working on it to see how we can help some international students so we can attract more students. You don't have this slide, but I'm just going to give you a little bit more information. Every year for the last 2-3 years now, so we are actually enrolling more new students, almost double the number of new students than we are graduating. So normally you would think at least you can get the number of students you are losing to get back, then you are flat, but I have actually doubled the number. I don't know if you can see it from there. You see the yellow numbers is doubling. The blue is number of graduation, and the yellow is number of new enrollments. So we are actually, enrollment point of view, we are doing as much as we can. I don't know how far we can keep it up, but I'm trying to hope to keep it up. And thank you. That's my report.
Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Pottlori?
Thank you.
We're going to now have the report from our student trustee, James Elam. James?
Yes. Good morning, CSU faculty, staff, and members of the Board of Trustees. My name is James Elam. I am a senior criminal justice major here at Chicago State University. I am pleased to serve as your student representative to the Board of Trustees for this academic school year 2023-2024. I want to thank the student body who voted, trusted, and believed in me to serve in such a capacity. I'm here to be a voice for all undergraduate students while working alongside our newly elected administration of our Student Government Association. I look forward to serving the CSU campus and community. In addition, I would like to welcome back all of our CSU staff, faculty, and students to the campus, especially our incoming freshmen and our transfer students. Hopefully this semester is going well for each of you. If you are having complications with your classes, please refer to your on-site campus resources, such as your professors, your academic advisors, the chairperson of your department, and most importantly, take advantage of the tutor and learning assistance center located in the Gwendolyn Brooks Library on the fourth floor. Aside from that, I want to highlight the Department of Student Affairs for hosting various events geared towards student engagement, campus life, academic resources, and economic opportunities, known as our annual Welcome Week at the beginning of each semester. We had events like our Welcome Back Parade, CSU Clubs and Orgs Fair, CSU Resource Fair, Jazz in the Grass, Welcome Back Festival / Pop-Up Shop, and much more. Additionally, I would like to highlight our MPHC Fraternity and Sorority Greek Life for participating in being showcased on CBS Channel News to promote the Chicago Football Classic Greek Step Show for financial education and empowerment and assisting with the Financial Youth Symposium. MPHC here at CSU had the opportunity to help disseminate $50,000 worth of empowerment scholarships to high school students across the city of Chicago while assisting the resource fair, which included breakout sessions and workshops that were focused on credit, money management, and FAFSA applications, featuring Melissa Conyers Urban, our city treasurer of Chicago, and who's also a part of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. And I'd like to say thank you to my fellow Divine Nine sisters and brothers. Let's continue to do excellent service that serves our campus and local communities. And lastly, our Spirit Day is coming up this Thursday, September the 21st, from noon to 2 p.m. in the CRS Quadrangle. Please wear your CSU gear while enjoying some music, food, and fun. And this concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Trustee Elam? All right. Next we will have our Vice President of Enrollment Management, Oscar Rodriguez.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very pleased to present the fall 2023 Enrollment Management Report for the September board meeting. On behalf of the Office of Enrollment Management, which includes admissions and financial aid, our various campus partners, including external affairs, marketing, our student services office, and many, many others who I have neglected to mention, and I'm sorry. I'm pleased to present this report as the outcomes of this past year were, in fact, the result of many, many, many different units working together to enroll this class. I'm pleased to report that total university enrollment is up to 2,295. If you focus specifically at undergraduate enrollment is at 1,484. What this means is that university enrollment is up 1%, and undergraduate university enrollment is up 5%. From a personal and very exciting level, the first year freshman numbers have increased by 21%. The number of new transfer students increased 23%, and our population shifted slightly, very, very, very slightly, to be 84% residents, 12% non-residents, and 4% international. So, slightly lower number of non-residents than in previous years, but the numbers are very strong overall. And these numbers are the 10-day census numbers. As I share when I share these beginning of semester reports, we do have a special session at CSU, which means that our current enrollment is actually a little tiny bit higher than this, but these are the numbers that we report out to all official reporting agencies. So these are the numbers that report out to you, the Board of Campus. A little bit about who our class actually is, who joined us this fall. So our first-time freshmen, the average age of those students is 19.6. That's a slight increase from last year. Last year we were a little bit under 19. We had a 30% increase, and those students were 18 and under, and the proportion of those students were residents, non-residents, and national were 80, 17, and 3, which is a little bit higher for residents than it had been previous cycle, which is positive for CSU. We're attractive to many more area students. Transfer students, the average age is 28. They're 80% residents, 13% non-residents, 5% international. That's not unusual. Those students are actually, even despite residency categories, tend to be near the Chicagoland area and are coming to us, although a fair number are in fact coming from other areas. And our readmit population, these are students who left the institution and then returned to the institution trying to complete their degrees. Those students, their average age is 41 and a half. That number is up 2.5 years from where it was last year, and most of those, 95%, are residents, 5% being non-residents. Overall, it's a tale of two stories. We have a younger, more traditional age first-year population developing on this campus. We have a slightly older transfer student population developing on the campus, and then our readmission students, it shouldn't be any surprise, the older coming to us with very different needs, trying to complete their degrees. So exciting to see what we're learning about that population as they're enrolling here. We are absolutely within the midst of the recruitment cycle. If I were to go back to when I started doing admissions work many, many years ago, we wouldn't even be out in high schools or at college fairs until the end of September. We don't live in that environment anymore. We don't operate that way anymore. Immediately after Labor Day, our team was out and about visiting institutions, going to college fairs. And in fact, if you were to stop in my office right now, odds are you wouldn't see an enrollment specialist. You'd find the receptionist and you'd find one of the directors in the office trying to get a phone call to make sure that any walk-ins are in fact being served. We're in the midst of our state CRM implementation. We chatted about that a little bit over the last couple board meetings. We are still on target for phase one being launched on October 1st, which means applications will start coming in. Thus, then we'll start accepting transfer applications. We're onboarding some new lead generation partners, and we're also trying to work with some marketing partners to help us with communication and extend what we were doing last year through this coming up cycle. So we are absolutely underway for spring 23, for spring 24, summer 24, fall 24. Finally, I thought I'd give you a sense of where we are with applications at the moment. The common application opened for us on August 1st. The common application is exclusively for first-year students. When we looked at the numbers this morning, the numbers were at 540, so it was 372 September 8th and 540 today, which gives you a sense of how much growth there's been in the last 2 weeks. And then, again, as a reminder, transfer applications will, in fact, open on October 1st. So we're excited to get those transfer applications open at first. We're excited to get the data flowing from Common App to the CRM on October 1st as well, and starting to make some decisions. One little side point, by accelerating our time to decision and trying to minimize that window, we're likely to yield students at a higher rate, which we're excited about. And being able to make some decisions in October and November will be great for us. And recruitment and outreach is well underway, as I mentioned. 86 college fairs as of the 8th, that number is higher today. And high school visits, 68 September 8th, that number is also higher today. So we're very excited about the year ahead, building on the momentum that we started developing this last year, and looking forward to a productive year and being able to report out similar or better outcomes coming up next fall.
All right. Questions for Mr. Rodriguez?
Okay. Thank you.
Great job. Congratulations. Keep it up. You know what happens, Oscar, when you set the board, the bar high, right? You want to know. All right. I'm now going to turn the meeting over to Trustee David, who will preside over the report and resolutions presented by the Finance and Audit Committee.
Thank you. I call on Ms. Nicole Latimer-Williams, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Financial Operations, to present the Financial Operations Report in two resolutions.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have two resolutions to present to the board today for your approval. The first being the FY24 final operating and spending budget. Chicago State University received funding from multiple sources. As such, the operating budget and the spending plan is organized into components according to the type of funding. The appropriated fund reflects funding from the state appropriation and student tuition, some fees and lab courses and program and miscellaneous fees. The non-appropriated fund are revenue sources and expenses related to student mandatory fees, auxiliary services such as events and parking. And the grant budget reflects revenue from restricted funds and associated expenditures. Today we are asking the board approval for the university budget containing all of these components. CSU conducted a budget review in FY24 based on the state appropriated funds, internal forecast of tuition and fees on enrollment, projected income generating activity from auxiliary operations, and projected grant and contracts awarded to the university. In total, for FY24, the state appropriated funds was $42.6 million and is broken down into the following three components. $39.3 million is from the Education Assistance Fund, $3 million is from the Education Improvement Fund, and $307,000 is from the General Professional Dedicated Fund for the Pharmacy Program. In FY24, the state appropriation for Chicago State increased by $2.5 million or 6.42% over the FY23 appropriation level. So that is a huge plus. This also represents a 7% increase in the education assistance fund that the university has received. In FY24, an estimated spending from our local income fund in the sum of $20 million is built on the projected net tuition, fees, and scholarships of $18 million, based on enrollment projection of 49,000 annual credit hour, which is slightly lower than FY23, primarily due to enrollment decrease in our pharmacy program. The spending plan for our LI fund includes $2.3 million in expenses that will be covered by a one-time prior year carryover fund. The revenue projection for our non-appropriated fund of $13.1 million. Let me put these on. Coming from our student mandatory fee income and auxiliary programs. Our total operating budget from non-appropriated funds is $14.8 million. And the spending plan for our non-appropriated fund shows a projected budget gap of $1.6 million, which will also be covered by a one-time prior year carryover. CSU estimates that it received $10.7 million in non-financial aid, non-capital funds, and federal, state, and city grants for FY24, which also represents an increase over prior year. The FY24 operating budget and spending plan is $88.6 million from all sources of funds, in which I am requesting the board approval. This concludes my report.
Are there any questions or comments from the trustees? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the FY2024 final operating budget resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes, Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Kiara?
Yes.
Trustee Kim?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zoff?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Please continue with your final resolution.
The final resolution is regarding our internet services via the Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology, Illinois Century Network membership. The Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology, or DOIT, provides telecommunication services to all state universities, including Chicago State University. And previously, the charges for bandwidth were based on how many Mbps were being used across the campus monthly. DOIT now offers Illinois Century Network membership services, which includes unlimited internet access bandwidth, internet egress rate limit up to wire speed along essential internet protection, mitigation, firewalls, peering, and unlimited network connectivity to other ICN connected institutions. The annual value of these services is $60,000 a year and over a five-year contract totaling $300,000. It is our request today that we receive the board approval to enter into a contract with DOIT for the total cost of $300,000. This concludes my report.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the trustees?
No.
Hearing none, is there a motion to approve Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Tim?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes.
Thank you. This ends the Finance and Audit Committee report.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Okay. I think we're going next to Dr. Norma Carroll, Director of Intercollegiate Athletics, to present her report and two resolutions.
Good morning, everyone. It's always a pleasure to address the board to talk about all the exciting things that are happening in our athletic department. So we have continued to grow the athletic department staff, adding several new members this past quarter. We have over a dozen new hires, but I want to highlight four, and all four are here with us today. We have Whitney Bradley, who started as our Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Success. She came to us from Texas A&M University and is charged with leading our academic efforts for our student athletes. We have Danielle Miller, who joins us as our Associate AD for Sports Medicine and our Head Athletic Trainer. She has over 20 years' experience in the field, including working with the United States Anti-Doping Agency as a Doping Control Officer. Joshua Reyes joins us as our Head Women's Soccer Coach. He's a former collegiate championship player with over a decade experience as a head coach leading collegiate and national programs. And we have DJ Johnson, who joins us as our Assistant Athletic Director for Strength and Conditioning, another former Division I student athlete who has already come in about 30 days and changed our sports performance culture. In addition to our staff, our student athletes have been busy since the last board meeting. We had two student athletes represent Chicago State University in competition this summer. Bernice from women's volleyball represented Team Argentina in the World University Games, and Jason Corbett represented the Virgin Islands national team in FIBA competition this summer. Our athletes are ranked among the best in the nation. This is just a snapshot of a few of our women's volleyball and women's soccer student athletes who are ranked 8th, 23rd, and 33rd in their respective statistical categories so far this season. Our head coaches, also another group that's been very busy this summer, off to a hot start for the fall. Volleyball off to the best start in our Division I program history. Women's soccer opened up the season with a win for the first time in program history, and men's soccer has already matched its highest program win total with several matchups remaining this season. In addition, on the recruiting trail this summer, our head men's basketball coach, Gerald Gillian, has signed two of the highest-ranked recruits in Chicago State University history, signing the 5-star student athletes out of Florida. The 6'9 Bewley brothers, Matthew and Ryan Bewley, are here with us as freshmen on campus this season. Conference alignment. This remains a priority for us. We are still having ongoing and continuing conversations as we seek full conference membership. What you see today is our teams that have current affiliations and those that are playing an independent schedule. Men's soccer, women's golf, and men's golf are in the Ohio Valley Conference. Men's tennis and women's tennis in the Horizon League, and the remaining sports playing an independent schedule for this year. Members of the board, the next section of my presentation relates to the expansion of Chicago State University's intercollegiate sports program. I will first present an overview of our work surrounding this expansion initiative. In 2021, the university began conversations into what sports expansion could look like for Chicago State University's future and growth within intercollegiate athletics. In January 2023, we hosted a media event on campus to announce the formation of an exploratory committee that included two segments, a working group and an advisory committee. We convened meetings of the exploratory committee during the spring 2023 and provided a recommendation to CSU President Z. Scott in May of 2023. The advisory committee was a cross-professional group that included leaders of local community organizations, Chicago State University stakeholders and advocates, professional and local sports leaders, including former NFL players with the Chicago Bears. The working group consisted of campus community stakeholders, including Board of Trustees Corey Timms, student representatives, and our campus faculty athletic representative, alongside other university and athletic department stakeholders. The recommendation presented to President Scott recommended that CSU pursue expansion of its sports programs. The specific sports recommendation included the addition of three Division I sports, women's triathlon, women's swimming, and football championship subdivision football. The work completed by the committee included a projected minimum of 210 new student athletes to CSU, not including expansion of the band and other spirit programs and support groups. CSU's intercollegiate athletic program will be required to raise an average of $800,000 in revenue over the next 5 years to sustain the program. Based on experience, clear pathways to raise revenue could include game guarantees, individual and organizational donations, ticket sales, and external partnerships and sponsorship opportunities. NCAA distributions to Chicago State University would increase as a result of offering more sports and issuing more student scholarships. We've also created a tentative fundraiser scenario that summarizes a high-level pathway to meet our financial goals. We will continue to work directly with fundraising professionals to meet these required goals. The announcement of the exploratory committee generated a high level of media and community interest. The data show over 250 million earned impressions within 5 days of the January press conference. These numbers demonstrate there is great interest in sports expansion at Chicago State University. Chair Zoff and trustees, today we are presenting the board with two resolutions that have been approved by presentation by President Scott. The first resolution relates to expansion of our sports sponsorship to include the 16th sport of NCAA Division I Women's Triathlon in fall 2024. The costs associated with the addition of the program are modest for Chicago State University, and USA Women's Triathlon is prepared to award Chicago State University with a monetary grant, resources for equipment partners, and ongoing support to sustain a competitive NCAA Division I Women's Triathlon program. Are there any questions from the Board of Trustees regarding the resolution?
The triathlon resolution?
Correct.
Any questions from the board? I know it's in the board materials, Dr. Carroll, but can you just give us the numbers, the cost of the program? I know you got a grant. I know that it's actually in the materials on our board, but just so we have it on the record.
So the sport operating budget costs are less than $10,000 per year, and the grant awarded by USA Triathlon was $40,000.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions on the triathlon resolution? Okay, thank you. You can proceed. We'll do both resolutions at the end of your report.
Okay. The second resolution relates to authorization from the board to publicly fundraise for sports expansion, including NCAA Division I football, with quarterly updates submitted to the Board of Trustees. Are there any questions from the board related to this resolution?
So I just want to be clear to the board what I have communicated to the president and the team and how we got to this resolution. Everybody, as you know, is very supportive of having a football team for a whole host of reasons, including Mr. Huggins was so kind to come and speak to us today. The challenge for us is it's expensive, and I cannot see us committing to something that we don't have the dollars to support. That said, it's hard to raise money from people when we haven't committed as a board to get behind it. So we were trying to balance, saying definitively going forward we don't have the money, but also letting people know that if we raise the money, we're pretty committed to going forward. So that's the balance of this resolution, of how we got to this resolution. that in essence says we're committed to the program, we're going to raise money for it, but we're not going to approve the program until, finally approve the program until we raise the money.
Okay.
So that's the how we got here and the reasoning behind the resolution and the language. Other thoughts, comments? Okay. And also, Dr. Carroll advised me during our pre-briefing that the advisory committee has morphed into a hopeful committee to support fundraising, so, which I think is good as well.
I do want to recognize that Mr. Huggins did participate in our advisory group, and we appreciate Mr. Huggins being here with us today. He was, his group also supported Chicago State in our attending the football classic so we could see what it could be. He provided tickets to our student populations. Our drum line was part of the events at the classic, so we were happy to have that level of participation for the first time in the classic.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Is that your complete report, Dr. Carroll?
Yes, that completes the report.
All right. Can I get a motion on the first resolution on the triathlons?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Dr. I'm sorry. Ms. Bates, would you call the roll? This
yes.
is just on the first, the triathlon resolution.
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, can I get a motion on the resolution on to the football program, expansion for football and fundraising for the football program?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you call the roll on that resolution as well, please?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Elam?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passed.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Carroll.
Thank you.
All right. I do want to recognize that there are members of our intercollegiate sports program who have joined us here today in support of our athletic director, who is about to celebrate her one-year anniversary at Chicago State. Are you?
September
1st.
September 1st. We have two of our coaches in the audience, coach of our men's basketball team, Gerald Gilliam, and our new coach of our women's soccer team, who are both here with us. So thank you for your support of your athletic director and for the support of Chicago State University.
All right, we're moving on to the Chicago State Foundation report.
Good morning.
Welcome, Melanie Silas.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So the foundation activities are off to a good start. We finished last fiscal year with a positive balance. We're close to fully staffed. We started early with the fundraising for the gala, which I'll talk more about. And we are starting to see a lot of the fruits of the operational changes that we made over the last fiscal year. So this first slide is our strategic plan for the year. Our goals for the year are largely the same as last year in terms of our fundraising goals. When you look at corporate and foundation, we have raised $375 in just the first quarter. So right now we're trending slightly ahead in terms of where we expect to be with our goal. And I'll say more about corporate and foundation fundraising in a bit, but I am also projecting that we'll end up ahead by the end of the calendar year as well. The First Gen Scholarship Gala, I'm projecting that we can get at least to 400, if not the 420, which is our budgeted goal. Right now we're at 302,000, and I have enough warm commitments that I'm trying to close where I expect to be at 350 headed into the dinner. I'm also pleased to report that we have an individual donor, an anonymous individual donor, who's committed to matching all of our donations, 50 cents on the dollar, up to $100,000 between October 1st and December the 15th. So I bring that up in the context of the gala because that power raise usually does between $50,000 and $60,000, and I'm hoping that the addition of the anonymous donor will be really motivating for people to commit not only to the gala but also as they consider their year-end giving. In terms of our alumni, staff, and individual goal, you'll see in just the in Q1 that we've raised $30,000. Again, that's where that individual donor is going to come in handy, and we're also going to be doing a Giving Tuesday as well as a year-end appeal. So I am cautiously optimistic that we may even pass the $100,000 goal for individual giving. Our major gifts giving is any gift that we consider to be $10,000 or above. We have received two major gifts so far this year already, which is two more than we received last year. So that's great news. We received one $10,000 gift from someone that just wanted to donate to Chicago State, has read about us and what we're up to and just wanted to make a gift. We also received a $40,000 gift from someone specifically for the Presidential Leadership Fund. And so if we could go to the next slide. So as I mentioned before, we're actually at $302,000 for the dinner. The paper invitations recently went out, so I'm seeing an influx in people buying individual tickets and making donations. And so I'm confident that we'll get at least to the 350 headed into the dinner, and I'm just looking forward to having a successful event. And I will just mention again, for those of you who don't know, our CSU trustee, Cheryl Watkins, is being honored in the Alumni Achievement category for the Cougar Servant Leadership Awards.
Thank you.
And my name has a C.
I just saw that. I'm sorry. I will fix it.
That's okay.
And so in terms of corporate and foundation gifts, we got a number of gifts that came in that I wanted to highlight. The Chicago Community Trust gave us $150,000 for Rise Academy. They are a lapsed funder in the sense that it's been a few years since they funded us. They previously funded some of our economic development work. It's great to see them back at an increased level as well as funding some of our core programming. So really excited about that gift. We also received a renewal from Sterling Bay for Rise Academy, and the Dempsey Travis Fund also renewed their $100,000 for Rise Academy. Last but not least, we also received a renewal of $5,000 from NICOR Gas for our prep program. In terms of engagement that's in the pipeline, this pending category, these are proposals that are already in, and I'm more than 75% confident that we'll close them. The Vivo Foundation this year, we're actually submitting for a two-year grant, and in addition to the $75,000 that they do for Rise Academy, we've also asked them to support us with another $75,000 for the next 2 years for our sophomore academy. We also have a pending proposal to Circle of Service for academic advising at $150,000. The Cigna Foundation is for the sophomore academy. It's really small, so I can't bring it with my glasses on. one of our faculty has also submitted a proposal to the Spencer Foundation, and we have a pending proposal for dual enrollment programming with AT&T. I actually had a call with them this morning, so forgive me for being late. And then we have a proposal in front of Providence Bank for the prep program. Proposals that are in process, these are where we've had meetings, and we have the first two, we have meetings with them, and we have drafts of proposals, but not an official submission yet. One is for $70,000 with the Joyce Foundation for our PBI advocacy work. And then we also have a 50K proposal in front of Allstate for scholarships within the School of Business. Upcoming proposals that we're also going to be, that will be in by the end of the month, we're submitting a 25K proposal to American Honda for the prep program and a 15K proposal to Nordstrom also for dual enrollment. Upcoming meetings that we have include Google and the Lumina Foundation. We continue to have an engaged board of directors. These numbers that you see on the screen are our final numbers for FY 23 giving. And as you can see, they had a tremendous impact on our overall fundraising for the year. We just recently had our first board meeting where our two new directors that you voted to approve were able to attend. It was hosted by BMO. BMO, I want to stop at BMO. They don't use Harris Bank anymore. It was hosted at BMO, and we had 90% attendance in person. So it was attended, probably the best attended board meeting I've had since I've been here. So just really excited about the engagement and looking forward to working with the board this year. Two of our board members have also received awards. Our board chair, John Roback, he has been named the 2023 Person of Vision by an organization called Eversight, and he's being honored next month at their annual gala. And then Michael Harris was also awarded the 2023 Business Leader of Color Award with Chicago United. And as I mentioned at the beginning, we are close to fully staffed. We've had three new staff start over the summer. Barb Teeter is our deputy director. Max Cooker is our director of major gifts. And Willie Eng is our new program coordinator. Thank you. Any questions? No?
I just have two quick questions. Okay. Congratulations on all the progress.
Thank you.
Who are your points of contact for the Joyce Foundation and Allstate?
So with the Joyce Foundation, we've been talking to Emily Goldman, and she also reconnected us with Crown Family Philanthropy, so there's some conversations being had there as well.
Okay.
And then with Allstate, we were working with Yanomo Sanguma, but I just got an email from Marilyn yesterday that he's no longer at Allstate. Marilyn Rogers, and so she wants to talk to me about where we are with that proposal, so I'll have more on that soon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the only thing I want to say is, first of all, congratulations on a great first quarter and all the progress on the gala, also just I want to remind the trustees, if you haven't made plans, the gala is October 6th. If you have not made plans to attend, please reconsider and do so, and if you can provide support, it's really important. You know, we're pushing hard to get the Chicago State Foundation Board to have full support. It would be great to have this board have full support as well in some way, shape, or form. These are the foundation's most important fundraiser, and we are very close to the goal, and with the support of the anonymous donor who recently came in, the better we can do with the gala, the more likely we can do it to get the full matching gift. So please make sure you haven't already. Melanie would be more than happy to send you a link,
whatever you need.
Take your check, take a credit card now. Please hope that this board will support the work of the foundation, which supports the work of the university. So thank you. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you.
All righty. We have covered the first part of the meeting, and we are going to adjourn into executive session. I am moved to convene executive session. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Elam.
Yes.
Trustee Kiara.
Yes.
Trustee Tim.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Chair Zop.
Yes.
Motion passed.
All right, we will adjourn into executive session. We will be reconvening for the second part of our meeting, the retreat portion of our meeting, after the executive session completes. Thank you.